तेरा हुसैन बाग नबूवत का फूल है दर कि इसमें जान है खूने रसूल है।
नहमदहु ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد رسوله النبي الأمين المكين الحنين الكريم الرؤوف الرحيم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Mashayikh and ulama, and respected ladies and gentlemen, and the elite youth of Durban and South Africa. My brothers, I have nothing to give to you except two things: the message of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and dua. Our link and our relationship is exclusively based on the love of Allah, love of Prophet and love of Deen, and nothing else. I have never taken any monetary benefit throughout my life from the organizers, from the members of movement, from other Islamic associations, and I don't get any monetary benefit out of my religious tours except to give dua to you and to get dua from you. Now I would like to come towards the topic of today. Today's topic on which I want to utter a few words is the secret of martyrdom of Imam Hussain. The secret of martyrdom of Imam Hussain. That is the reality of Shahada of Imam Hussain. I have recited a verse of Holy Quran to elaborate the theme in connection of the secret of martyrdom of Imam Hussain, the Shahada of Imam Hussain. And as it's my habit, and it's my method of communication, that I don't go outside the boundaries of Quran and Sunnah, I have to again elaborate the concept in the light of Quran and Sunnah and nothing else. Normally, we have never tried, and it has been never tried, to communicate the concept of Shahada of Imam Hussain in the light of Quran and Sunnah. We do in the light of events, historical events and incidents, but we don't do it in the light of Quran and Sunnah. The verse which I have recited as the caption of the subject is that Almighty Allah says, "Man yuti'i Allah wa Rasul," anyone who obeys Almighty Allah and the Messenger, peace be upon him, "Faulaika ma'al ladhina an'ama Allahu 'alayhim," so those would be in the company of the blessed one. They would be in the company of those unto whom Allah has bestowed and showered His blessings. So who are those blessed ones? They are minan nabiyyin, the prophets, was siddiqeen, the testifiers, was shuhada, the martyrs, was salihin, the pious, and saints, the piously people, the saints of the time. Hasuna ulaika rafiqa, And then Quran says, how good companions these are. It means, the first point which I would like to throw a little bit light on it before proceeding towards the subject is, حَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. How good fellowship and companionship it is. It means that Quran requires for us a fellowship. Quran suggests, rather prescribes for us a fellowship and companionship. Quran prescribes us that there should be a specific company for you. You should adopt a company. You should adopt a fellowship. If you have to adopt a fellowship and company, then why not that fellowship and company should be very good and pious? So what would be the standard and criterion of a good company? Imam Hasan Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say to his murideen and to his pupils that before you decide about your fellow, and before you decide about your company which you are going to acquire and adopt, look at the man and see whether his company would be useful to you on the day of judgment or not. The only thing to be decided and to be concentrated upon is that whether his company is going to be useful to you on the day of judgment or not. If his company is beneficial and useful for you on the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, then go in his company and make friendship and fellowship with him. If it is not useful and beneficial for you on the day of judgment, then don't get his fellowship, and there is no use of him even in this world. And Quran says in this regard, Quran says, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَدُوٌّ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. All of the friends, your friends, your relations, your friendships, your fellowships would convert into the enmity on the day of judgment. Every friend will become your enemy on the day of judgment. And no friendship and no company and no fellowship would be of use and benefit to you on the day of judgment. You will see every friend as if he was your enemy on that day. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Only those who are the God-fearing people, the muttaqeen, the awliya, the saliheen, the saints, only their company and their fellowship would be beneficial and useful for you on the day of judgment. So keep their company and their fellowship. So one should seek for good companies and seek for good fellowships and seek for good friendships. Here lies the significance of suhbah. Significance of suhbah, the company and the friendship. There are so many secrets in this aspect. So coming towards the subject matter in the topic of today, Quran says that these would be the four categories of the blessed people: the prophets, the testifiers, the martyrs, and the saints, the pious people. So it can be very easily derived of this Quranic verse that Almighty Allah's blessing in this world can be categorized into four classes or four kinds. These are four groups of the blessed people. Now it means that the blessings of Almighty Allah in this world has been classified into four categories. These are the main blessings of Allah and the topmost blessings of Almighty Allah. So the first of the blessing is prophethood. Nabuwwat is his topmost blessing onto this world. The second is Siddiqiyat. First is Nabuwwat. Second is Siddiqiyat. the martyr, no, the testifiership, those who are witness to Allah, to become witness to Allah and to become testifier of Almighty Allah. So this testifiership is the second blessing of Allah, if anybody could get. The third blessing is martyrdom, shahada, in the way of Allah, sacrificing one's life for Allah, for His sake, and for the sake of His deen, and for the sake of His prayer. This is the third blessing of Allah. And the fourth blessing is saintship, the piety, taqwa, and wilaya, the friendship of Allah, to become a saint and a pious man, blessed with piety. These are the four blessings of Almighty Allah in this world. Now, we have to understand further in this connection that all of these blessings in this world, all of these blessings and the other blessings, all of the divine blessings of Almighty Allah, which do exist in the form of good characteristics and qualities and good spiritual attributes in various persons, in various personalities, whether they were and they are the prophets or they are the saints, all of the good attributes, qualities and characteristics and blessings possessed by the various people of this world, scatteredly, all of them are collectively present in the personality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am taking you towards the main theme, stage by stage and step by step. So you have to cope with me. There is a logical sequence between every aspect with the other. There is a logical sequence. So you have to cope with your, with me, your minds. So we are collectively in a journey, journey of understanding, and we have to reach a state. So we should keep in our mind that all of the blessings which Almighty Allah has bestowed in this world, and He has blessed various peoples and various individuals and various blessed personalities, from prophets to the saints, they were scattered everywhere, but in the person of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of the blessings were combined, were collected. So he possesses, Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, possessed a comprehensive personality, an all-embracing personality, as far as the blessings, attributes and qualities, divine qualities of the world are concerned. We can't find even a single quality and attribute, even a single good characteristic and single blessing which was revealed down and which was blessed to the people right from Hazrat Adam till now, till the day of judgment, which would be sent down and the people of any time would be blessed with them. We can't find even a single attribute and quality and blessing not present in the person and life of Prophet Muhammad. Now this is which I have already stated, this is what has been stated by the scholars and Aimmah. And the scholars are unanimous on it. But now what I would say, I am proceeding further. This my statement, my conviction. I would rather say in the light of this Aqeedah, that if anything does not exist in the life of Holy Prophet, it cannot be considered to be blessing. Any attribute, any character, any quality of conduct, anything, any moral, which is not present, if anybody says it is not present in the life of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may one body think in this way. If it is not present in the life of Holy Prophet, and if it was not possessed by Holy Prophet, wallah, by God, it cannot be considered as moral even, as a good characteristic, the criterion of being a value to be a good character is whether it is possessed by Holy Prophet Muhammad or not. Whether if it is possessed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not, if we see it present in the person of Prophet Muhammad, it is a good attribute and character. And if it is not present in the life of Holy Prophet, it cannot be regarded as a good character and quality. It can be something else, but not the moral. It can be something else, but not spiritual. It can be something else, but not a good attribute, not admirable quality. It can be something else, but not divine blessing. If it is a divine blessing, it should be present positively in the life. We should found it in the life of Prophet Muhammad. Why? Because in this world, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been made the sole source of Allah's blessings. Why? Because now the fourth point is the fourth point. Because in this world, Allah Almighty has created a sole source, an exclusive origin of Allah's divine blessings, and an exclusive origin, an exclusive root, an exclusive source of the distribution of divine blessings is the person of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whosoever gets Allah's blessing gets from the dar, the door of Prophet Muhammad. Whosoever gets any blessing, whosoever gets any ni'mah of Allah, the blessing of Allah, whosoever gets any divine value, he gets, he was getting, he is getting, and he would be getting till the day of judgment, rather on the day of judgment, just as a sadaqah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the means of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his dole as khairat. Because Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been made the sole source of divine blessings of Allah in this world. It is stated in Prophet's hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama ana qasimun wallahu yu'ti." Innama ana qasimun. Keep in your mind that the sole distributor am I. I am the sole. I have been made as the sole distributor of the blessings of Allah. Wallahu yuti. And Allah gives his blessing to me. Not to you directly. Yuti. He gives his blessings to me. He blesses me with his mercies and with his favors, and commands me to distribute his favors among the people. So the giver, Mu'ti, is Allah, and the distributor, Qasim, is Prophet Muhammad. So this is the crux of Aqeedah. Crux of the giver, the Mu'ti, is of Allah. Mu'ti is Allah. And the Qasim, the distributor, is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whosoever wants to get anything from Allah, he should become the asker on the door of Prophet Muhammad. He should ask. He should become the beggar. He should beg it from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this divine philosophy has been explained by Ala Hazrat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh in the words, بخدا خدا کا یہی ہے در, بخدا خدا کا یہی ہے در, نہیں اور کوئی مفر مقر, جو وہاں سے ہو یہیں آ کے ہو, جو یہاں نہیں تو وہاں نہیں. By God, this is the house and door of Allah's blessing. نہیں اور کوئی مفر مقر. There is no other way of getting Allah's blessing except the door of Prophet Muhammad. This is the sole center of his distribution. Whatsoever is done by Almighty Allah is declared and distributed from here, is committed and executed and implemented and enforced from here. if there is nothing here, believe that there is nothing there. And if there is anything there, it is certainly here. That's why Ala Hazrat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan at another place says, میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہو مالک کے حبیب, میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہو مالک کے حبیب, کہ محبوب و محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا. Says O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would say to you, the owner, in spite of the fact that you are the beloved of the owner, you are not the owner in real sense, you are the distributor. Distributor is not really the owner. Owner is Allah, the giver. In spite of the fact, I would say you are the owner. Why? Because Ala Hazrat says that there is no difference between the lover and the beloved. They never make a difference that this is mine and this is yours. Allah. The lover never makes this kind of difference. Never makes this kind of difference that this is mine and this is yours. This difference of mine and yours are ours and yours, not between Allah and His Prophet. So whatsoever He gives, it is distributed by the hands of Prophet Muhammad. So the fourth point which I would like to explain, and I will request you and I will ask you to keep in your mind with clarity, absolute clarity, that is that all of the divine blessings and attributes and qualities of character which are possessed by the various people of this world, of this universe, right from the prophets to the saints, they are primarily possessed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of those characteristics do exist in the person and life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and only then these are distributed among various people. So if it is established fact. Now the question is, the prophets got prophethood, coming towards the four categories of the blessed people. Prophethood is the blessing. So people, some of the Allah's true servants were made prophets in this world, from Adam alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam. Prophets were made prophets, and they got prophethood as a blessing of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophets got the prophethood as a blessing of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they get the blessing of prophethood through Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can say, how? You can ask me, because I never taught anything, just influence. Whatsoever we say regarding Aqeedah, there should be the source and background in Holy Quran and Sunnah. Prophets have got the prophethood as a blessing of Muhammad, peace be upon him. How? It is stated in Quran. Almighty Allah says, and it is elaborated in the Ahadith, that Allah Almighty collected the souls of prophets in the world of souls before the commencement of the world of Bashar. Human world was not started at that time. Before the human being came into existence, Almighty Allah collected and convened a conference, a meeting of the souls of Prophet. In that meeting of the souls of the Prophet, Almighty Allah asked them, first of all, they see Imam Kustulani has mentioned the details of this event in his book of Hadith and Fazail, Al-Mawahibul Ladunya. Imam Kustulani says that when the souls of the Prophets were present and they appeared before Allah, at that time there was a shining of nur. There was a nur, a light, which all of a sudden covered the whole area of the souls of prophets. Their souls were covered by a light, by a noor. Prophets, the souls of prophets asked, O Allah, what kind of noor, what kind of light it is which had covered us with this shade? Allah replied, my prophets, this is the noor of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the noor and light of my beloved prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They asked Allah, who he is? Almighty Allah replied, this is my prophet, and I am going to send him and raise him after, in the end of the whole series of the prophethood. If you will believe in his prophethood, only then you will be getting the prophethood of the blessing of prophet. If you believe in his prophethood, only then I will bless you, each of them, with the blessing of prophet. Then Almighty Allah said, إِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ. It is the Holy Quran. Then Allah, Almighty Allah said that Almighty Allah took a contract, a covenant, ahad, a covenant from you, promise from you. What kind of covenant it was? He said that, O my prophets, I will send you and raise you to the mankind from time to time. And then after you, when all of you would be raised, after you, I will raise my prophet Muhammad, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the last of the prophets and messengers of the world. You would be raised. You will be going to the mankind with kitab, with my divine guidance, revelation and wisdom, divine wisdom. After all of you, he would be raised, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what do I, what you are supposed to do? You are supposed to do, لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ. Each and every messenger and prophet, in spite of being himself a prophet, he is supposed to bring faith in his prophet, to believe in his prophethood. Keep in your mind, a president is not supposed to have a faith in the presidentship of the other country. What do they do? They recognize one another. They recognize one. If the president of South Africa recognizes the president or the prime minister of Pakistan, they recognize the president of South Africa. This is a mutual agreement, mutual agreement. But they are not bound to do so, because everybody possesses own sovereignty. Is not subjugated and subject to the other sovereignty. But the whole world seems to be subject to the sovereignty of UNO, an international body. So there are grades. So all of the prophets, Almighty Allah said, you are supposed to have faith and to bring faith and belief in prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not only to bring the faith in him, but you are supposed to help his mission. To help his mission, and he will come, Musab, and he will certify you. So Almighty Allah, and then the prophets and messengers' souls said, Almighty Allah, we become witness to it. You be witness that we believe in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is Quran. Allah said afterward, so I am also witness to your covenant. I also become witness to your covenant, to your declaration. So the prophethood was given to the prophets as a blessing of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then comes the testifiership. Testifiership, Siddiqeen, At-Tasdeeq. It was again given to those who testified, who became Siddiqeen, who became the testifiers of Allah, of the faith, of his message. And it was again blessed to the people and to the testifiers as a blessing of the testifiership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is also mentioned in the same verse, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. He would testify your prophethood. He would testify the divine revelations which were communicated to you. He would testify the religions which you are going to propagate to your people. So on the basis of his testifying, you would become testifier. So the testifiership was given to the testifiers as a blessing of testifiership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Salihin, the saints, the pious people and the saints, they got the piety, and they got the belovedness, they got the nearness, they got the spiritual grades and piety in the eyes of Allah as a blessing of the piety of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the blessing of his saintly life, of his piously life. So every blessing was given to the every category of the blessed people through the blessing of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now question is that the prophets got prophethood through his blessing, the testifiers got testifiership through prophet's blessing, and the saints got the sainthood through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam blessing. But from whom the martyrs got the blessing of martyrdom? Because Prophet Muhammad was not martyred. He died natural death. He was not martyred. He was not shaheed in this sense. He was not killed in a battlefield. He was not a martyr. So from where the martyrs got the martyrdom? From where the shuhada got the nema, the blessing of shahada? Because Holy Prophet, we see apparently, we do not see this blessing of shahada and martyrdom in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not martyred. So apparently it seems as if this blessing lacks. It does not lack. Really it? And this is my point. This is the secret which I want to tell to you. This is the secret of the martyrdom of Imam Hussain. That he doesn't lack this quality. This was also blessed by him, but apparently we see that he was not martyred. Then the martyrs of the whole Ummah, from where and through which, whose blessing they got this blessing? And if we see that the Prophet's life is empty or lacks the blessing of martyrdom, then it would mean those who are martyrs, they possess a one plus point as compared to the life of Prophet Muhammad. It cannot be. It is absolutely impossible. The martyrs are getting a plus point, are getting such a blessing in their life that is not present in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it would become a partial superiority, and we believe even no partial superiority is possible and is available to any of Ummah as compared to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are ajza, juz, and he is kull. These are small streams, all of these. The blessed people are small streams, and he is the ocean. He is the ocean, having everything in his life, everything in his hands, and distributing all the blessings to the world. Martyrs getting the blessing from his door, prophets getting the blessings from his door, saints getting the blessings from his door. And Imam Busiri, Sharfuddin Busiri rahmatullah alayh, says, وَكُلُّهُمْ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مُلْتَمِسٌ غَرَفًا مِنَ الْبَحْرِ وَرَشْفًا مِنَ الدَّيَّنِ فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَدَرَّتَهَا وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ إِلْمَ اللَّهِ وَالْقَلَمِ. All of the prophets and all of the blessed people and all of the testifiers and all of the shuhada and all of the sulaha and awliya and all of the anbiya and mursaleen, oh my Prophet Muhammad, they are standing before your door, and they are begging the blessings of Allah from you. And every blessed one is getting Allah's blessing from you. Everyone has become, and he has been made, the beggar of your door. If you say, how everyone is beggar of the door of Prophet? One should be the beggar of door of Allah. Since it is my last lecture, I want to possibly clarify everything what is possible. One may say, one should be beggar of Allah. How he should become a beggar of the door of Prophet? Let me tell to you, this is again a confusion. Have you created a difference between the door of Allah and door of Prophet? There's no duality of the door of Allah and door of Prophet. Although Allah and Prophet are different persons. Allah and Prophet are two different persons, but their door is one. Allah. Allah and Prophet are two different persons, but their house is one. Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are two different persons, but they are given the channel of giving and blessing is one. Door is one. So it is impossible to create the difference. And Allah says that I will bless those who will first become beggar of my Prophet. Allah says, come towards Quran. We have never tried to understand Quran. Quran says, فَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. You will not find this thing in commentaries. The point which I am giving to you is you will not find neither in translations nor commentaries. Go and see the commentaries. In Arabic, in English, in Urdu, whatsoever you can find. These are not commentarian things. Allah says this is just in Quran. Not comment. This is not in commentary. It is just in Quran. So one have to become the beggar of Quran. Quranic knowledge. Quran says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Four stages. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ, when the people ask you, when the people ask you, they come to you to ask. The first thing is, when the people come to you to ask, so the first thing is to go to Prophet's door and to ask him. Iza sa'ala ka, sa'ala, sual, question, ka you, when they ask from you, they come to your door and ask you, what? Iza sa'ala ka anni, about myself. Allah says, if then they come to you and ask you about myself, about me. So the question is that if they have to ask, if they have to beg about Allah something, even for Allah they have to go to the door of Prophet. And what to talk of the other blessings of the world? Allah cannot God. Allah cannot be God. He cannot be cognizant. Without going to the door of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how the other blessings can we get without going to that door? Allah says, if you want to know anything about me, if you want to ask, even if you want to make my sawal, and if you want to get me, my nearness, my cognition, my player, my blessing, go to the door of Prophet and ask him. Don't come direct to me leaving my Prophet. Don't come direct to me minusing my Prophet from my way. If you want anything from me, regarding me, about me, go to the door of my Prophet Muhammad. Sa'alaka, they should ask you, O my beloved Prophet, about me, they should ask you. Iza sa'alaka ibadi, who should ask? Those who are my servants. So Almighty Allah has categorically cleared that those who are my servants, they should become the beggars of the door of Prophet Muhammad. Only those are my servants who go to your door. And those who don't go to the door of Prophet are not true servants of Allah. Ibadi, my servants. So my servants, they will become afterwards. First, they will become your beggars. So my Prophet Muhammad, your beggars are my servants. Your beggars are, and those who are not your beggars, they are not my servants. And those who are not yours, they are not mine. Ke mahboob o muhib mein nahi tera mera. We don't keep these defenses. Anni fa inni qareeb. Iza sa'alaka ibadi anni fa inni qareeb. Then those who come to your door and ask about me, they become my servant. My beloved Prophet, tell to them, inni qareeb, I am near them. I am near those who first of all become your beggar, You know, coming on your door, then they ask about me, they became my servant, then I come unto their hearts. Then I come into their hearts. They can find me in your heart. You can find me in their heart only if they become through you. So I was telling that the all of the blessings were distributed through the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how the martyrs got this the ni'mah and blessing of martyrdom? This was the question. So the answer is that Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had the quality of martyr. He had also the quality, the characteristic, the blessing of martyrdom, the shahada. He also had, he did possess the blessing of shahada, the blessing of martyrdom, he possessed. But the question arises, how? Now here is the answer, that apparently to become martyr, apparently to be killed by the hands of the enemies of Islam, by the hands of kuffar, or by the hands of enemy to be killed, as the shuhada and the martyrs are killed. Apparently, this was not possible in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The appearance of shahada, now this be very particular, the appearance, one thing is the existence of the blessing of shahada. Existence of blessing of shahada. And the other thing is the appearance of blessing of shahada. Existence and appearance. So, appearance of shahada, of martyrdom, was not possible on the body of Prophet Muhammad. It was not possible on the, it was bodily not possible in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there was a promise from Allah. In his Holy Quran, there was a promise from Allah. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah will positively protect you from the hands of your enemies. Allah will protect you from the hands of the enemies, which means that the people would not be allowed to kill you physically and bodily. They would not be allowed to kill you. They would not be allowed to kill you. So Allah has provided a physical protection, provided you with physical protection. So it was the divine duty. It was the divine plan and divine promise of Allah, which could not be broken. So nobody was allowed in this world to kill Holy Prophet physically. Since nobody was allowed to kill him physically, that's why the appearance of shahada and martyrdom was not physically possible in his life. And I want to create a difference between the existence of reality of shahada, the existence of the reality of martyrdom, and appearance, physical appearance of martyrdom. There's a difference between the two. So, you will find that the spiritual existence of martyrdom was present in the life of Prophet Muhammad. This is two aspects. The aspect of its abstract existence and aspect of its physical appearance. Every act has two aspects. One is known as hayat-e asliya, the abstract form, the abstract form, and the other physical form, the appearance. By abstract form we mean the idea, the spirit of the act, and form, the physical experience, we mean the formate. For example, salat, take the example of salat, prayer. Aqimis salat ala dhikri. Remembrance of Allah is the spiritual form of salat, is the abstract aspect of the salat. And physical formate of the salat is as the acts which we perform in our salat. Takbir tahreema and our qiyam and our bowing, bending down and our prostrating, sajda and ruku and sitting and qada and making salam and everything. So this is our, this is the physical appearance or physical formate of salat. And remembrance of Allah, it is the spiritual abstract of the salat. So in order, for the purpose of completion and perfection of an act, two things are necessary. The spiritual, the abstract form of the act, and its physical appearance and completion. So now coming towards the martyrdom, the shahada, the spiritual and abstract form of shahada did exist positively in the person and life of Prophet Muhammad. It is an established fact. But it could not appear physically in his life because of the promise of Allah. So we have to differentiate between the two. How shahada and martyrdom did spiritually and abstractly, how it did exist in the life of Prophet Muhammad. So the abstract form and spiritual existence of shahada is, number one, the desire of shahada, of martyrdom, and number two, the act to accomplish it. So these are the two things. Both conditions were fulfilled in the life of Prophet Muhammad. He had an extreme and sincere desire of martyrdom and shahada. And number two, the act of accomplishing the act of martyrdom did exist in his life. As far as the desire is concerned, keep in your mind that if a man is killed in the battlefield by the hands of kuffar, even if the man is killed in the battlefield by the hands of kuffar, but he did not have the desire of martyrdom, he was fighting just out of coercion. Thus that he was supposed to fight by the government, he was sent there, and he was ordered and commanded, if you will not fight, you will be dismissed from your job. He was compelled to fight there. So out of compulsion and coercion, he was fighting, and he got the bullet and he died. Although he died by the hands of kuffar, but he, according to Sharia, he would not be regarded as martyr and shaheed. He will be just considered to be a dead body, not martyr and not shaheed. Because Holy Prophet ﷺ says, innamal a'malu bin niyyat. The acceptability and the perfection acceptability of amal, of act, depends upon the niyya, the incentive and the motive, the intention and motive. This is the first thing. The second thing, it is from Quran. The ajr and reward of a specific act is given sometime without accomplishment of its physical act, without completion of the physical appearance. The reward is given perfectly. Quran says, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَاقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Those who come out of their house just with an intention of migration towards Allah and His Prophet, just with an intention, the niyya of hijrah, they intended to migrate to Allah and His Prophet, and for this intention they came out of their house, but they could not migrate, they could not finish and complete their act, they could not accomplish the act of hijrah and migration completely. They died in the way. Almighty Allah says, in spite of the fact that they could not complete it, faqad waqa ajruhu ala Allah, Allah will give him full reward. Allah has taken self-responsibility and imposed self-responsibility on him to give him the full reward of migration. So he will be known as muhajir ilallah, migrant. He will be known as migrant because on the basis of his niyyah, he started his act. And it is in hadith, if a man just makes a niyyah of good and pious act and cannot accomplish it physically, even then Almighty Allah gives him the ajr. And if he starts the act of accomplishment, then Almighty Allah gives him the full regard and full reward. So discussing the matter of the spiritual existence of the essence of Shahada, the essence of martyrdom, it existed in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, that he always used to desire Shahada. It is in Sahih Bukhari, Kitab al-Jihad. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua every time to Almighty Allah, and he used to say, "Lawadittu an uqtara fi sabilillah, thumma uhya, thumma uqtara, thumma uhya, thumma uqtara, thumma uhya, thumma uqtara." Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that this is the desire of my life, the great desire of my life. I want that Almighty Allah may give me a chance that I may be martyred in the way of Allah, and then again I would be made alive, then I would again be martyred, then again I would be alive, then again I would be martyred, again I would be made alive, again I would be martyred. So I want to continue the process of giving my life and sacrificing my life in the way of Allah, and getting another life and sacrifice it again and again and again. In Sahih Bukhari. So this was the great desire of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to sacrifice his life, and this was the real presence and existence of the essence of Shahada and martyrdom in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without that, nobody can become Shaheed. The first thing. Now coming towards the commencement of the accomplishment, the starting, beginning of the act. So as far as its formate is concerned, this was the essence. Now its physical formate of the act of Shahada is concerned. Its physical formate is divided into two kinds. Ash-Shahadatu Sirriya, Ash-Shahadatu Al-Jahriya. The concealed martyrdom and exposed martyrdom. Internal martyrdom, Shahada, and external Shahada. Implicit Shahada, explicit Shahada. The hidden Shahada and open Shahada. There are two kinds of Shahada. So hidden and small one. Hidden Shahada is the small one, the concealed. What is the hidden Shahada? It is in Hadith that if anybody was poisoned and he died, he is Shaheed. Out of many forms, I am just giving one, the main, which concerns with our topic. If anybody was poisoned, he would be Shaheed. It's clear. And the exposed and the open Shahada and the big Shahada is that if anybody was killed by the hand of Kuffar or the enemy, he is Shaheed. Two things. We see after a thorough and extensive study of the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that both formate of the hidden Shahada and open Shahada, both of the formate were started in the life of Prophet Muhammad. The act of the commencement of accomplishing Shahada in its hidden form as well as in its open form, in its internality as well as in its externality, in its implicity as well as in its explicity, the both of the formate were existing in their beginning in the Prophet Muhammad's life, but they could not finally accomplish. They could not become complete as far as its physical appearance was concerned, because there was promise of Almighty Allah that you were not killed by the hands of the enemy. So the act would be started in your life, its accomplishment would be started, it would be begun in your life, but it would not be concluded during your life. It would not be concluded because its conclusion means dying in the hands of enemies, and this would be against the commitment and promise of Almighty Allah. So how these two formates started in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first hidden Shahada of through poison, it is established that Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the battlefield of Khaybar. In battlefield of Khaybar, there was a Jewish woman who gave Prophet Muhammad a poisoned meat to eat. He was given poison in the form of meat, and he ate and along with him there was a companion also eating the same poisoned meat. Meat spoke. The Holy Prophet ﷺ requested, "Oh my dear Prophet, don't eat me, I have been poisoned." The meat spoke, "Because you are my aka, you are my master. Don't eat me, I have been poisoned." But Holy Prophet ﷺ had eaten some of it. And the same was eaten by the companion also. So it is stated that the companion who ate the same meat, the same quantity, died at the spot. He died at the spot there and then. He has expired. It means that the quantity eaten by the Prophet himself and by the companion was sufficient for causing death. Quantity was sufficient to cause death, but companion died. Holy Prophet ﷺ could not, because there was promise of Allah, "Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas," you will never die by the hands of your enemies. So the hands of your enemies. Because if Holy Prophet ﷺ had died through the hands of enemies, then the companion, it was just the beginning of the movement of Islam. The companion would have demoralized. They would have demoralized, and it would hurt and damaged and caused a lot of harm to the movement of the Islam. So Holy Prophet ﷺ was sent to accomplish his job of the dawah of Islam and the iqama of deen. And لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, he was supposed to establish the deen on the earth and to establish the deen and his perfect, he was wanted to perfect it. So unless this cause and this mission was accomplished and completed perfectly by his hands, he was not supposed to die. So the companion died and he did not. So this was the just a start of the hidden shahada in his life. And now I would like to tell you another hadith, very significant hadith. The poison stationed in the blood of Holy Prophet ﷺ till the day of his demise, so that it has a concern and relationship with his demise also. Almighty Allah created a relationship, a connection of this poison with his demise, so that he may not be considered to die as a result of poisoning, but he may not be departed from the result of poisoning. He was not to be considered dying as a result of poisoning, but at the same time he was not kept apart as far as his demise was concerned from the result of poisoning. When at the time of his demise was near, it is in hadith, he said to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said, "Aisha, right from the day of Khaybar, when I was given poison, I was poisoned, I have been feeling the effect of poison in my body right from that day till now. But now, this is the disease of my demise. I am feeling that my death will occur as an effect of the poison." The wada of Allah had been come complete. The wada had been become complete. So his demise had an effect of the poison on it. But apparently, this was not the death by the hands of enemies. Almighty Allah kept and secured and preserved the effect of the poison in his life. So there was a beginning of accomplishment of hidden shahada in his life, but its appearance was not permitted and allowed to become complete on his body physically in his lifetime. So there was a start of hidden shahada in his life. Now the second format of shahada is the open shahada. Again, open shahada had a start and beginning in his life without completion of his physical appearance. Come towards the day in the battle of Uhud, what are the requirements of the open shahada? One should be fighting with the kuffar. He should be attacked with some weapon. He should be wounded and injured. Some blood should flow, or person, organ should be cut, and ultimately he should die as a result of the attack. These are the formal prerequisites and conditions of open shahada. So out of the four conditions, three were fulfilled. And the last one, that was the death, which means the completion of appearance of shahada. It was held pending, because it was not possible to accomplish in his lifetime because of the promise of Allah. In the battle of Uhud, he was attacked by the stones and arrows.